So now on Tuesday we will focus on the very last familiar methods, okay, which are based on penalization techniques too, but from a different perspective. In the standard penalization, we put up the constraint into the objective function and minimize on the full space. Here we want to solve unconstrained optimization problems, but in a way such that our solution is always feasible. Okay? So we want to solve unconstrained optimization problems being sure that the solution lies in the feasible region. Okay? And indeed, this is known as inferior penalization, or you can also find the name barrier method, okay? And you will understand the reason of the name barrier during these last 30 minutes. Okay? So, this kind of technique applies well when you have inequality constraints only. Okay? So, let's focus in the case in which we have only inequality constraints. And they essentially require some assumption on how the feasible region is done. Okay? Two assumptions. The first assumption is the following. If we consider the set of points in Rn which satisfies all the constraints as an inequality, strict inequality, okay? This set is non-empty. Okay? Somehow this is like Slater constraint qualification. It tells you that there is a point in the interior of the feasible region. Okay? Slater constraint qualification also had the required that the constraining function were convex. And the second assumption states that every point in the feasible region, okay, let's call X the feasible region, can be arbitrarily approximated by a point in this capital X zero set. Okay? So every point in X in the feasible region must be somehow a limit of points which belong to this set. I give you an example. Suppose your feasible region is this. Okay? Some kind of an apple, a strawberry, a berry, okay? This is X. Including this part. Okay? X0 will be this. X, capital X, capital X. Okay? Because here, there's no way, since these functions are continuous, if this falls in a point, it must fold in a whole ball around the point. So, this theory is not possible because you cannot find a ball. Okay? And this does not satisfy the second requirement I'm about to write, that every point in X can be approached by arbitrary approach by points in X0. Okay? Because you take this point, it's here, there's no way you can approach it arbitrarily with points here. Okay? This is the kind of situation we don't want. Okay? Since we aim to work on this set, we want that the whole feasible region can be approximated by this set. Formally, you can say it this way. For every x in capital X, and for every epsilon greater than zero, there exists an y in capital X0 such that the distance between y and x is less or equal than x. Okay? The distance is the norm of this. Euclidean distance is the norm of this vector, y minus x. Okay? See? You fix x in capital X. You want to approximate it arbitrarily with points in x0. So, this equation is one that we want to avoid. Okay? Roughly speaking, it is saying that if you take out the border of your feasible region, okay, what you get is something which is in which you can find points which are arbitrarily close to the border, to any point of the border. Any point of the border can be approached arbitrarily by any point in the interior, okay, roughly speaking. Well, if Ti are all convex and capital X0 is non-empty, then this condition is true. So when your constraints are given through convex inequalities, this happens. Okay? The idea is exactly this one. X0 is an open set. Okay? And we know that performing minimization or maximization over an open set is quite the same as performing unconstrained optimization. Because you can have a minimum point on an open set for a function f only if the gradient of the function at that point is zero. Okay? So the optimality condition for constraint optimization over an open set are exactly the same as optimality conditions on in the unconstrained case. Okay? We discussed this some time ago when we have seen the very first optimality condition for constraint optimization. Okay? So somehow you can consider minimizing a function over an open set like an unconstrained optimization problem. Well, the idea is so to perform some minimization over this open set. But we cannot minimize F, because we have generally seen that often, very often, the minimum point is on the border. So that this minimum, so if we minimize F over this open set, it's likely that we don't have a minimum point in the open set. Okay? Just take a very simple example in a one variable, okay? And the linear function, for instance. Okay? The minimum value is here, but if the set is open, you don't have the corresponding optimal point in the feasible set. Okay? Generally, you don't have minima on an open set; you have infima. Okay, just the infimum of f over this set is this value, but it is not a minimum value because you don't reach it on the set. So you need something, and the idea is the following: we want to consider f plus some other function which allows having the solution in the open set, the optimal solution inside the open set and not on the boundary. Okay. And indeed, so we want a function b which goes from capital X0 to R with two properties. The first one, and that this function is greater or equal than 0 in every point. And the second one is the most relevant, is that if you take a sequence of points X which goes to some X bar which is in X, but it is not in X0, so a point on the border, okay? You are approaching it from inside the physical region, okay? The function is not defined at this point, but it is defined at every point X, okay? You have a sequence of points here which converge here. Well, if this happens, you want that the value b of x goes to plus infinity as x goes to x bar. Okay? So this should explain why we want to every point on the border to be approachable by points in the interior. We take a point on the border, we can approach it from the interior, and we want that this function, as we are approaching this point, grows to plus infinity. Okay. Somehow we are building a barrier, okay, from which that name. Okay, we are building a barrier on the border because here we have the opposite function plus b. We are building a barrier in such a way that this goes plus infinity. Okay, and in this way the optimum point cannot be on the border. Okay, because as you approach the border, the value of the objective function goes to plus infinity. Okay, so functions with these properties are called barriers for our feasible region. Okay, barrier functions. And indeed, there are two barriers which are generally used. One is the inverse barrier, which is built from the GIs this way. You just take one over minus gi, and you take the sum. All over all i's. Okay? Imagine you just have one. Okay? A point which is an x. Okay? But not in x0 is a point of at which this function is zero. Okay? So if I'm approaching a point at which this function is zero, from points at which this is negative, and so when minus is positive, this is going to zero, and so this term is going to plus infinity. Okay? And the other, and more relevant, more used, is the logarithmic. Barrier, which is built this way. You just take the logarithm of minus gi and then you sum up all over I and you switch the sign. Okay? Let's see what happens here. As GI goes to zero, this goes to the logarithm of zero, so to minus infinity. You switch the sign, so this is going to plus infinity. Okay? But indeed, I'm not really sorry. You don't really need this property. Okay? This is true here, but not necessarily true here. Take a point at which one of these is minus 2. This is the logarithm of 2, which is positive. So with the minus in front, it is negative. Okay, so this is not, this is also an electron note, but it's true in the inverse case, not necessarily true in the logarithmic case. And you can do this exercise, sort of homework for exams, if g, in both cases, if the functions gi are convex, then the barrier function is convex. In both cases, if the GIs are convex function, both the inverse and the logarithmic barrier are convex functions. Okay, so you preserve convexity. Suppose f is convex, GIs are convex. You preserve convexity even considering the barrier. And the basic idea of methods is the following. We want to minimize f of x plus some epsilon times a barrier function over the open set capital X. Okay? And then you send the parameter epsilon to zero. This is the basic idea of interior penalization. You solve this problem, which is an optimization problem over an open set. So it means that to compute the minimum, you have to find the points at which the gradient of the barrier function of the objective function plus the barrier is zero. Okay, minimum points satisfy this. So you are solving this system of equations. Okay. And then you decrease the barrier to zero. So you are building a barrier, and you are iteration by iteration, you are making it slower. Okay. I show you an example on the computer, which gives you the idea of what we are doing. The example is very simple, one variable, so it's easy to see picture. We want to minimize t squared over the usual feasible region. T is greater or equal than 1. Okay? The inverse barrier is 1 over t minus 1, and the logarithmic barrier is minus the logarithm of t minus 1. Okay? So, I run it. Sorry. So, this is the physical region, all points which are greater or equal to 0. And this is, t is greater or equal to 0, and this is t squared. Okay? And we do know that the minimum point is 1. Okay? I'm adding no barrier. Now let's add the barrier with epsilon equal to 1. Okay? This is the objective function you get. It is defined on points which are greater than 1 only, okay? And it has this form, okay? The minimum point is somewhere here, okay? It means here, okay? Let's see if we take, rather than 1 as the parameter, 1/2. The function is the green one, and the minimum point is here, okay? Let's take 1/4, blue function, and the corresponding minimum point, and so on. 1/8, 1/16, 1/32, okay. And this means that points are approaching 1. So this is what we will formalize later, okay? The method works. One possible trouble. Okay, this function is defined also when t is negative. Okay, so when you minimize this function, you can use for instance a gradient method. Okay, you start from a point in the feasible region, but then you have to be careful that the step size you choose doesn't lead you outside the physical region, okay? Because you must start from some point here and somehow get outside the physical region because you take a wrong step, a step which is too long, okay? In this case, does not happen because we are just in R, so in one direction you increase and in the other you decrease, okay? So there's only this chance and you never make the wrong choice. But for instance, you start from here, okay? and you want to find this point, you move this way. But if you take a step which is too long, you may end up to some point here, which is a better value, but perhaps a better physical region. Okay? So you have to be careful when you perform unconstrained minimization. It's true that the gradient has to be zero, and so it is likely an unconstrained optimization method, but you have to take care of the step. Okay? Otherwise, you may end up outside the feasible region. And I also made the same example with the logarithmic barrier. Yes, it's true. This increases this way, okay? You are here. The fact is that now you have chosen the direction, okay? Suppose you apply some backtracking procedure to find a point satisfying the world conditions or just the initial conditions. You may start with a step which is too long, and the conditions are satisfied because you get better values. Okay, I mean your information is local. Okay, so the function is done this way. You are here. Gradient method tells you to move this direction. Okay. If you are not careful, you could start checking this point. Okay. In this point, the condition may be satisfied. Okay. And if they are satisfied, you accept the point in an unconstrained minimization standard procedure. Okay. The fact is here that you have to take care also that you must keep feasible, so you don't have to get out from this region. Okay? It depends on your on the initial step you try. Okay? If it's too large, you may end up outside the feasible region. Okay? So unconstrained minimization, it's true. It should give you. So he said, I apply a method. I go this direction, but if I end up here, then I will go back. Okay? But I may end up outside, and then method would send me this way. Okay?
Le curve di forza di situazione hanno detto l'uso A è già B. Sì, perciò fosse solo A,
no? No, 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 c'hanno anche la B. Perché se if you just have B, if you just have F, it's this one. Okay. And you don't have any barrier technique. This is the logarithmic one, but the idea is the same, except for the fact that outside the physical region, the barrier is not even defined, because it would be the logarithm of a negative number. Okay. And so this is almost the same picture. Okay. You take parameter 1, optimal point, parameter 1 half, 1 fourth, 1 over 8, 1 over 16, okay, 1 over 32. And you notice that it's approaching 1 faster than the previous case. Okay? But the idea is the same. You solve this problem as an unconstrained minimization problem, but you keep your point inside the physical region, okay, and you improve the penalization parameter. Okay, what is... So this is the example. I can close this. Thank you. I mean, we can run these type of examples also. We can run examples of also. On the blackboard, for instance, we want to minimize t such that t is greater or equal than 1. Okay? We have the barrier, so we want to minimize t minus epsilon times the logarithm of t minus 1 such that t is greater than 1, this is capital X 0, okay? We compute the gradient of this function, which is the derivative in this case. So we want 0 to be the gradient or the derivative of this function. So this is derivative of t is 1 minus epsilon times derivative of the log is 1 over the argument, and then multiply by its derivative, which is 1, so this is it. So this is 0, means that t is equal to 1 plus x. Okay? As epsilon goes to 0, this goes to 1. Okay? We could run another example, let's say we have t squared rather than t as an objective function. So here in the gradient we have 2 times t. Correct? So this is equivalent to a second order, second degree equation, and the solution should be plus or minus within the of 1 minus which becomes 2 plus. Okay. This should be the solutions. Notice, one of them is feasible. The other one is not. Okay? Not feasible. This is feasible, and as epsilon goes to 0, this goes to 0. Okay? So we can make this statement formal. Okay? We can say that this is so. Take the sequence of global minimum, a sequence of global minimum points of these problems. The cluster points are all global minimum points of the original problem. So, this is the algorithm in this way. You choose Xk, a global minimum
trying of the unconstrained optimization problem with the barrier and parameter K. Then N plus the prime of the sequence at K is the robust minimum bound of our constant optimization. On Tuesday, I will focus on the logarithmic barrier. Okay? And I'll show you, I'll show you some nice progress. I won't go much further with the topic of interior penalization in general, or barrier methods in general. Okay? I'll show you some nice property in the case you use the logarithmic barrier in relationship with KKT conditions. Okay? I'll show you the link with KKT conditions, and this gives rise to a huge family of methods of interior penalization, which are called interior point method, which try to solve the KKT system of equation and inequalities. And I will just focus on the case of linear programming. Okay. So this is the goal for Tuesday. So I will show how the barrier methods with the logarithmic barrier are related to KKT conditions, and how they give rise to family of methods which try to solve the KKT condition through some kind of approximation of these conditions. Okay? And you will see that the tool will be Newton's method. Okay, and indeed nowadays, for instance, the most sophisticated algorithms for linear programming are based on this idea. Okay, I mean, in software you find both the simplex and this other technique. Okay, and they work fine on different kind of problems. Simplex works fine, and you will use it when the problems are huge, okay? Dimensions are huge. This becomes a bit slowly when problems are too huge, but are generally used when the problem is not huge because they are faster. They work faster. Okay, so this is the plan for the last lecture.